so glad to have you with us today. Those online, we welcome our e-family. We welcome you online, our online viewers, and those on podcast, we welcome you today. And just enter into praise and worship with us today. Tonight, we have a ministry team meeting at 6. I'm going to go ahead and say that before we get into anything. Is that right? 6. Okay. And then we want to do something real quick before we start. Brother Ricky, if you'll come on up. Let's sing happy birthday to him. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Sammy. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Well, let's stand up and we're going to enter into praise and worship and lift up the name of Jesus. So let's, we're going to pray real quick while we... I'll get ready to do that. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and mercy. We thank you that you are a great and a mighty and an awesome God, and that you rule and reign, God. And we thank you that you have everything under control, God. And we trust in you, Jesus, and we give you all glory and honor and all praise. We bind any hindering spirits that would hinder this service, and we loose your spirit to have free reign in this service, God, and move today, God, and help us just to lift you up and help us, dear God, to just cast all our cares on you before, because you care for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Lift up your hands. Lord, bless. today, and it's a new old song. But, you know, I talk about Elf the little movie a lot, you know. Well, you know, I heard a preacher, I told y'all a couple weeks ago, I heard a preacher preaching about, you know, getting excited about Jesus, and it just came to my mind, you know, the elf, whenever he was in the little department store, and they said, Santa's came, and he said, I know him, and he was so excited, because he knew Santa Claus, yeah. And he was coming, so we should get that excited about Jesus. Well, a friend of mine just sent me this song, I was going to do it last week, but yes, I know Jesus for myself, because he's a personal God, and he wants to know us on a personal level, amen. And when we know him, we know him, and we got to know him in here, and he wants to know us, and if you know him, y'all sing out loud this song, okay? Remember, this is a participation song. When y'all we sing, I came out of that grave, we want y'all to holler at real loud, okay? I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? found us in that weight and pit of sin, and he pulled us out and covered us with his blood and washed us and made us new. And now we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you. There's a new name written in glory, and it's mine. Aren't you glad your name is written in heaven?
Glory, and it's mine. Yes, it's mine.
You glad we know who we are in Christ Jesus, and we need to know what we believe in this time that we live in. We need to know what we believe, and we're going to ask Avery to come and help us with this song. Ellie may come with her.
In this time of despair.
we're learning. But it's important to lay a foundation, that our kids have a foundation of who they are in Christ Jesus and what Amen. They believe. Place of freedom. Thank God that we can come into His presence and there's a place of freedom that we can just rest and just be calm and just know that we have freedom to be ourselves in the presence of God.
There's a calm that covers me when I kneel down at your feet. It's a place of healing. It's a place where I find freedom. There's a place my eyes can't see, where my spirit longs to be. It's a place of healing. It's a place I live in freedom. I'm gonna lift my hands till I can reach heaven. I'm gonna shout your name till the walls come falling down. I've come to worship. I've come to
darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see. How great is our God. How great, hallelujah. How great, your wonderful God is our God. Hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. How great, hallelujah, is our God. Sing with me.
Yoraboshi
Rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So God wants us to walk that victorious life in Him, and know that He is with us every step of the way, and He is God, and He rules and reigns, and He's the King of Kings.
Praise the Lord, church. Amen. If we stop right now, we have nothing to complain about, because the presence of God has been strong in this place this morning. If you didn't get your blessing, or if you didn't get what you needed, it's nobody's fault but your own, because He's here to work. He's here to work this morning. The good news is we're not done yet. So just hang in there, and before it's over with, maybe you'll get what you missed. Amen. God is not a respecter of any person. I mean, what He does for one, He'll do for the other. Amen. But we've got to want it. We've got to want it. Amen. I'm just thankful for what God has done, what God's doing, and He's going to do. Amen. You know, I keep saying about what Paul says, not looking, you know, putting the past behind you and looking forward, pressing forward. And the past is good, and I'm going to be talking about the past here a little bit after a while, but it's good if it's something that shaped you, Brother Rodney. But if it's something that's messed you up, you best leave it alone. Let God take care of it and put it behind you, and let Him put it in that sea of forgetfulness. Amen. And it's hard sometimes, you know, to let things go, and sometimes it's hard for our family to let things go that we've done. But you ask God for forgiveness, and God forgives. You don't have to wonder about it. He forgives. So I'm just thankful this morning, you know. And before we get into the message, I'm going to thank Brother Ricky, and like you said, Tyler helped him. On how many appreciate walking on the parking lot this morning, not getting your shoes, not even getting them wet, I don't think. Amen. So Brother Ricky and his crew did a great job on the parking lot, and we're thankful for that. And also, Brother Ricky and Brother Randall was out here Tuesday night, because we had Sister Donna, maybe not even know this because I don't think I've told her, that we had her water line bust in the new sanctuary out there, and Brother Ricky and Brother Randall was out here about, boy, it was 8 o'clock or so, I think, maybe a little after, getting the water cut off and stuff for that. So I'm thankful they, and I told Brother Ricky, I said, Brother Ricky, if you need me, call me. And I was praying all the time, don't need me. Because I could see us having to, you know, and I guess Billy, Brother Billy probably knew where the water cutoff was, or Brother Randall won. I could see us digging half the back of the parking lot, or the driveway up out there, trying to find that cutoff for the water line there in the new sanctuary. But they found it fairly easy and got it cut off, so we'll fix it when it gets warmer. Amen. So we're just thankful for that. Thankful for the men that help around the church, Brother Jason, Brother Brian, and all of you that does, you know, Cody and Donald and Billy and all of them. That, you know, it takes all of us. And when we do that, it makes it easier on everybody, you know. And we're just thankful for those that stepped up in the last few months. And nobody has ever failed me. If I call to need some help or whatever, they're always ready. And I kind of lean on Brother Ricky a little bit more than the rest of them, because I know he works for himself, so he ain't going far himself if I'm calling him at work. Now, Sister Lydia may get on him, I don't know, but But I call on him quite a bit sometimes, so we're just thankful for that. But my message this morning, you know, I've had this about halfway or two-thirds of the way started, and before I finished it, the Lord led me in another direction on another message, like I did a couple of times. But this morning, you know, first about the middle of the week, the Lord kind of told me, this is a perfect time for you to preach this message this morning. Says, you're turning 66 years old Sunday morning, and you are where you're at because of me. Amen. You're where you're at because of me. How many realizes this morning that you didn't get here by no accident? God has led and guided and have given you a destiny that he's put you where you need to be. And I'm thankful for that this morning, that we can look back on the good things and see the reason for where we're at today. Amen. Title of my message this morning, and I'll get into the scripture of it here later, but I'm going to give a little format before I get to that. But the title of my message this morning is A Better Hope. And that's what the scripture said that I'll be reading here in a little while. A better hope. But not only a better hope, it's our only hope. If you want to live in this life and you want to have a life that's worth living and be successful the way you're supposed to be, it's going to come through him. Amen. A lot of people, we've got a lot of people that will cheat and steal and do everything they can to get ahead. And don't even think about their fellow man. It's all about me. How many seen, and this is pitiful. You may have seen this, talking about cheating and stealing and how selfishness we have got. On the news a couple of nights ago, this 34-year-old woman and 44-year-old woman dressed up as elderly women to get their vaccine. I don't know if any of you have seen that or not, but that shows what state of mind this country is in. They got the first one, and the guy was standing there at the window because they was in their car. The guy's standing there at the window and at the car and told him, says, you've got your first one, but do you realize whose life you have about put in jeopardy because you took somebody else's shot when it wasn't time for you to have yours? And he said, it ain't going to do you no good because you're not getting your second one. But that's just the state of mind that our people in this nation and all over the world is. It's all about yourself. I get mine, and you get yours. That's up to you. I'm not going to worry about you. But I'm thankful that God is a God that will lead and guide and direct us the way we need to go. But anyway, a better hope or our only hope. First of all, I want to talk about this morning a little bit is about, and you've heard me mention a couple of times in the last few weeks about in the Old Testament and stuff of Moses and the children of Israel and stuff, and when the law and the commandments and stuff was given them, and how harsh some of these laws was. And majority of them carried a death penalty. It's that simple. But I'm thankful that we're not living in the law anymore, but living in grace. And we've got the mercy of God that will not cause that force, that we won't have to pay with our own life. He's given us a way to do that, and I'm going to get into that here in a little bit. But first of all, I want to talk about the law a little bit. So one time before Christ came, there was only a law that God has given to Moses and the children or the people of Israel. I mean, realize that was what they lived by. They had to go once a year to the high priest. They had to bring a sacrifice and offer it to God for their sins. But it didn't stop there. This was done every year because it just kept, this sacrifice just kept pushing the sins forward until the next time to bring the sacrifice for the next year. It's just an ongoing thing. That's what the law. But even the sacrifice to these animals. So they continually having to do this each year is because the blood of animals was not sufficient to completely forgive sins. The blood of the animals, that didn't mean nothing. But that was what they was told to do at that time. That was a commandment. That was the law. But it just kept pushing it forward to the next year. You know, and I've talked before about having, you know, when I retired, I got so tired of the same old thing over and over again every year, the same thing over and over again, you know. Patty's getting the same way at work. And all of you do after so many years, you work at a work that if you're doing the same thing over and over each year, you get tired of it. Well, these people was having to do this all the time, every year. Bring these sacrifices and give it to the high priest and let him give it, offer it for their sins. But it was just pushing it forward. I'll give you an example, and I just mentioned Patty and some of the other Sister Donna, different ones, works in the finance stuff, banks and what have you. That's like you taking a loan out, and all you're doing each year or each month is paying the interest on it. You do that, you will never get that principal paid off. So that's the way it was with in the law. He was bringing these sacrifices each year, but all it was doing was just pushing it forward, pushing it forward. Now, God's word and law is perfect. But the problem with the law was this, that it could tell you what was wrong, what you needed to do, but it couldn't help you to do it. It couldn't help you to do it. It'd give it all, a line out of everything you needed to do, and even how to do it sometimes, but it couldn't do it for you. So you was just continuing living in sin because you wasn't fulfilling what was supposed to be done. I mean, it was, you know, a lot of it they could do, but a lot of it they couldn't do. You know, and I think of the scriptures when Jesus told the Pharisees, you know, that they had made it so hard that people couldn't live it, and they couldn't even live it yourself the way they was trying to make things for as a different rules and regulations and stuff. And that's the way a lot of our churches are. They take something that's simple and make it hard, and you're continually having to do more and more and more. And that's fine if it's something you want to do for us. We're supposed to be growing in Christ. We're supposed to be maturing in Christ each and every day. But if it's laws that men has made or ideals men have that think that's what's going to get you to heaven, I got news for you. You're in trouble because we can't work our way into heaven. Amen? We can't work our way into heaven. Now, once we get saved, we need to have good works, and the Bible talks about that. And that's just part of being like Christ, and I'm going to get into that here in a little bit. But anyway, so, you know, with this law and stuff, you know, and the commandments that Moses brought back down from the mountain and had to go back up and let God write him again and bring him back down. It told them what they needed to do. But the old flesh within them, they couldn't do it. Not to the total T that God had told them to. So they was continuing having to go back each year for their sacrifice. Amen. You know, and in Job talks about, you know, that we as people, we need somebody to go between us and God. Amen. We need a mediator to talk to God for us. You know, how many of you realize that we being an imperfect and unholy people on our own are not able to talk or negotiate with God within ourselves? Amen. We need a sinless, holy, and righteous one that can be equal with God to be our defense lawyer to plead our case before mighty God. Amen. Now we're getting into that better hope here in just a minute. Amen. And this is what Hebrews 7 and 19 talks about that. And before that, it was talking about the high priest and different ones and stuff like that. Then he goes on down to say in verse 19 of Hebrews 7, he says, "For the law made nothing perfect." Now I just got through talking about that. The law made nothing perfect. But the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. How do we draw nigh unto God? Through Jesus Christ. He's our righteousness. Our righteousness is filthy rags. But He's our righteousness. When we put on that robe of righteousness, we are able to go to the throne of God through Him. Amen. He's there mediating for us each and every time we call upon God for something. Or each and every time the devil will try to go to God and say, this one here done such and such. And Christ will step up and say, well, He may have done it, but He's one of your child, and He has asked forgiveness, and He's good. He's under the blood. So we've got to realize that He is our better hope. Amen. Hebrews 6 and 9, it says, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation." We are persuaded better things of you. Thank God we're living in the time we're living in, under the grace period, grace dispensation. We're not under the law. So we was able to be able to live in the better time with a better hope. And of things that accompany salvation. Jesus Christ is our salvation. He made a way for us to be able to be saved. Hebrews, I think 6 and 19, I can't even read my own writing. It says, "Which hope we have as an anchor of soul, both sure and steadfast." Which hope we have as an anchor of soul, both sure and steadfast. Jesus Christ is our hope. He is our hope. Down here and beyond, He's our hope. You know, I don't understand how people can make it from one day to the other without Christ in their life. Going through troubles and trials and tribulation, loss of loved ones, first one thing to another, sickness and stuff. Who do you turn to? Who do you turn to? You know, we and Patty had watched on Netflix, we'd watched a series called Away, I think was the name of it. It was this people was going to Mars, and it was backwards and forth with them going to Mars and their family there below, and still on the earth, and they're communicating with them and things happening to them while they're up there, and there's no way they can get to them to help them, what have you. And I keep thinking there, call on God. You know, need to be praying. And they actually had one guy on there that was, I don't know what he was, but he believed in God. Now I don't know if it was Jesus Christ involved in it, but he did pray with them some and what have you on different things. But I'm thinking, you know, but those on the earth, you know, was going through some stuff, and nothing mentioned about doing that, you know. And I'm thinking, have we got to the point, which I know was just a show, but that's the way it is down here in real life. We've got to the point that we'll call on everybody and anybody besides who we need to be calling on, and that's Christ for our problems and stuff. And hopefully somebody that you will reach out to will be somebody that will tell you you need to pray, and then we'll pray for you. But that's how we're getting, you know, not realizing that He is our anchor. He is the one that keeps us going. He is our hope. Psalms 39 and 7, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee." And that verse right there, he says, "And now, Lord, what wait I for?" And that's a question mark there. You know, what wait I for? Well, my hope is in Thee. I figured it out. My hope is in Thee. going on? Jeremiah 17 and 7 said, "Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is." Amen. Whose hope the Lord is. It said, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is." It's that simple. We've got to put our trust in Him, because He is our hope. And when you go over, I'm not going to get into this verse and read it, but I just want to bring note of it. And in Hosea 2 and 15, it talks about a door of hope. And I got to thinking, a door of hope. John 10 and 9 says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Amen. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." And find pasture. He is what you feed on. He's the one that's going to supply your needs. For is it food, financial, physical needs you have for your body, troubles in your family or whatever, He is the one that you can go to and you can find what you need. Amen. Colossians 1 and 27, last part of that, says, "Which is in Christ in you, the hope of glory." If you want to have the hope of glory, you're going to have Christ dwelling within you. Amen. It's that simple. That simple. 1 Peter 1 and 3, "Hath begotten us again to a lively," our living hope, "by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." A living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How many realize, and I know Brother Keith last week, and we need to pray for their family here in a minute. I let this slip my mind. Some of you may not realize it, but Tristan and Bobby Joe's mom passed away with a heart attack Monday morning early, 47 years old. So we want to definitely be in prayer for them and the family. So, and we'll pray here after a while. But, you know, Brother Keith was talking about the different things of the denominations last week. And it's sad, but we've got so many of the different churches out there that have gone so far on the wayside of the, what God is telling you to do or what the Bible tells. You've got churches that don't believe in the virgin birth. You've got churches that don't believe in the resurrection of Christ. Now, what kind of church is that? But, you know, Paul said, if we didn't believe and have faith in the resurrection, then what we're doing is just useless. Amen? Because if he didn't beat death and defeated the grave, then what are we doing this for? And Paul said that. Said if we don't believe that and have faith in that, then we're just doing it for nothing, so to speak. Brother Sammy paraphrasing. So, but it's sad that, you know, that we've got that, you know, simple things that we're supposed to know. And I like that song we sang a while ago, "I Believe." And if you don't believe that stuff, then something's wrong, because it's Bible. Amen. It takes the death, the burial, and the resurrection. You know, it's all had to happen to bring our salvation. So if you want to skip one of the parts, then you messed yourself up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 32 and 17, it says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace." The work of righteousness shall be peace. I wonder about our world sometime. I wonder about our church world sometime. But that says the work of righteousness shall be peace, not turmoil, not a bunch of things going on that, you know, God's not in confusion. Amen. He's not. He's not in that. Then I like the last part of this verse, and he says the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. I like the part about the quietness, but then I like the real part about the assurance. If you've trusted in Christ and you've put on that robe of righteousness and you believe in Him, then you've got the assurance and the faith that what you're doing is right, and that one of these days He's going to call us home and we're going to be with Him. Amen. It's that simple. Assurance. Knowing that. And that's what, you know, we're in a time where people wants to compromise so quick on things, and they're not for sure about stuff, and somebody will approach them with a different belief or something, and they'll say, "Well, I'm not sure about that. Let me think about that. I'm not sure. You know, I know what our church believes, but I'm not real sure. Let me go call Sister so and so or Brother so and so or the pastor. Let me figure out what I'm supposed to be. What I do believe." You're in trouble. If you don't know what you believe, you're in trouble. And that's part of the defeating the devil. I mean, if you're fighting battles each day with the demons and the devils and what have you of this world, and if you've not got your full assurance of what you believe, that you can use the scriptures to call upon Christ to take your battle, then you're gonna be losing more than you win. Amen. But anyway, then it says in Acts 17:31, and that goes back to where the resurrection I was talking about a while ago. It says, "Whereof He hath given assurance to all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead." Luke talking to there said that we have the assurance because He's been raised from the dead. Now they've seen that happen. They've seen Him ascend to heaven. So they knew, you know, we have to take it by faith. But they seen it. But we still have the assurance that He was raised from the dead. Praise the Lord. Going on, says, thank God that He has provided His only Son, who knew no sin, to become our hope and salvation for us, because it takes someone who was perfect and sinless to be the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, which we could not do on our own. And I said that earlier. We cannot save ourselves. You can do all the things you want to do, try to uplift yourself for as good works and what have you, but at the end, you cannot save yourself. You've got to have the faith in Him. You've got to repent. You've got to be baptized. You've got to be able to say that you are one of His, you know. Ask Him into your heart. Romans 5:6-11. Run over that real, go over it real quick, because I'm trying to get to the end of my message and actually the meat of my message here this morning. It says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Go on, Jacob. It says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God committeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Guys, you cannot try to get yourself into position to think you're better than what you was so that you can come and get your salvation. Christ takes you as what you are, because you can't do anything to improve yourself. It takes the blood of Christ. So He committed us His love, and He's seen what we was. That's the thing about it. He's seen what we was. So even within that, He still was willing to give up His Son for us. But God committed His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, which much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. In verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in the Lord through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Amen. We have the joy because Christ has saved our soul. We have a way of being saved. Amen. Romans 8, 28 through 34. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Going on. He that spared not, listen to this, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You've heard me say many times, he already gave up the best that he had. So these other things, why you question he would do it for you if he's going to give up the very best for you? Who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. One more verse. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that it is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. There's your mediator right there. Amen. He's the one that's looking out for you. You get in trouble and the devil's trying to make accusations against you to God, he's there standing to be in your defense lawyer, so to speak. So he's looking out for you. Amen. Now I'm going to try to upgrade a little foundation, and we'll try to get to the part I'm really wanting to try to get at this morning, what Christ has laid on my heart. It says, now that we've talked about the law and how it works, and now we've talked about a better hope for us, which is Jesus Christ. The sad thing of all of this is the better hope that has come will not do you any good if you don't accept him as your better hope for your salvation. You've got to accept it. You've got to be willing to accept it. You've got to be willing to ask forgiveness and ask him to come within your heart. Or that better hope is not going to do you no good. Amen. He's paid the price. Now why don't you accept what he's paid for you? It's that simple. He's paid that loan off for you down there at that bank. You don't have to worry about any more paying interest on that loan every month. He has paid it for you. It's paid in full. Amen. That's actually what he said on the cross, I think, was his final words, if I'm not mistaken, Brother Brian, what that meant. It's done. Paid in full. Praise the Lord. We know the way we do this before salvation, the way we do this is to repent of our sins and ask him to come into our heart so we can become a new person in Christ Jesus. How many realize, and I'm not trying to put an extra step in salvation, but there's a difference in repenting of your sins and repenting of your sins and asking Christ to come into your heart. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of times that we'll get caught if something we've been doing, or we realize we've done something and we don't want somebody to find out about, and we'll repent of them sins, but we won't go the full step in saying, Lord, please forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and make me a better person. Stop it. Just forgive me of my sins. If you want the full salvation from Christ, you're going to have to ask him to come within your heart to make you a new creature, a new person in Christ. Amen. Going on. And we can do all kinds of good things. And there's a lot of people out there doing a lot of kind of good things and stuff that's not Christians. And that's good on the earthly side of it as you look at it and stuff. But without repenting and asking Christ into their life, all the good works you do will not be sufficient to get you to heaven. You can't work your way into heaven without Christ being in your heart. Then you still can't work your way. Like I said earlier, if you've been born again and believe in Christ and trying to be part of the kingdom, that is part of your job, is to do good works. Because that's what Christ did. It's that simple. And in the book of James, he tells us faith without works is dead. How many realize that? And that's right. Faith without works is dead. I mean, if you're believing in Christ, if you've got faith that you're part of the church, if you do no good works, then how are people going to know that you are? Amen? And it talks about different times about doing good works. But also works without faith or knowing Christ is dead. Amen? Now, and getting to this, this is where I want to get to. I want to give you a little history about Brother Sammy. First off, I want to give you a couple of dates. October 29th, 1971. February 13th, 1972. On October 29th, 1971 was my first gospel singing that I played at. I was going at Walnut Grove Pentecostal Church, and it kind of strange that it happened this way, but my first place that I ever played at gospel music was in Fredonia at a church called Walnut Grove Baptist Church. I'm thinking, now how did that happen? But it was on a Friday night, one of the fifth Friday night singings they always had was there. But the sad thing about all that was I wasn't saved yet. And that was October 29th, 1971. And going forward to February 13th, 1972, I was baptized at the Lighthouse by Brother Donald Rambo, pastor of Walnut Grove Church. At that time, we didn't have a baptistry at Walnut Grove, and Brother Russell and the church there let us use their baptistry on Sunday evenings after services and stuff. I really don't know for sure what date I got saved. But I'm sure it wasn't no more than a couple of weeks before that, because back then, things were a little different than what it is now. You got saved, you got baptized, Brother Jeff. And you did it. And if you didn't do it, you'd eventually do it because they wouldn't leave you alone until you did. So I'm sure it was no more than a couple of weeks that after, I know it was on a Sunday night I got saved, but I don't know what the date, but it was just probably in a couple of weeks that we come over on the Sunday evening, and not only me, but there's a few more than me that got baptized that day. So after that, you know, I got to thinking, you know, and I hadn't thought about this a whole lot. Really, I don't think I ever thought about it to a certain point. But I got to thinking just here recently about all this. From October the 29th, which I first started playing the music, doing a work for the kingdom of God, to the time in February, probably first part of February, around 3 months of doing that work for the kingdom of God, Brother Jeff, if something had happened to me between that time, even though I was doing all these works for the kingdom of God, I would have died and went to a devil's hell. How many people are doing all these good works? And some within even the churches. And sad to say, some of your pastors, some of your deacons and what have you, and have never repented and asked God to come in their heart. And you hear this, I don't think you hear it now as much as you used to. But, you know, well, I've heard of different places and stuff have a revival where the pastor and the deacons and I don't know what, you know, all of some of the leadership get saved. Never had asked God in their heart yet. But, you know, within that 3 months period, if I hadn't repented, I was lost. Even though I thought I was doing fine, but I was lost. And my biggest problem was that at 16 years old, I guess, somewhere around in that area, you know, I didn't think anything real bad. I was all right. I was good as the next person was. But that's not what it's about. Don't care how good you are for as you think yourself within your own eyes. You still got to repent. Ask forgiveness. So we've got to realize that we're walking a walk that we've got to be careful about. And we've got to make sure about things. And I hope there's no one within the sound of my voice or on live stream this morning is in that situation. But all the good works you do will not do you a bit of good if you don't do the first step, and that is to get Christ in your life. It's just good works. And them good works, once you leave this world, is not going to help you a bit. Amen. You're still going to go, you know, just plain and simple, you're going to hell. So just, you know, like I said, I hope nobody within my sound of my voice here in the church or on live stream, but maybe you know some of your family or friends that's in a situation like that that think just because they are doing their good works, and I've seen it so many times, and, you know, people want to watch people. People want to measure up to people. And, you know, to a lot of people, the church is full of hypocrites. Well, it may be, but they're forgiven hypocrites. Amen? It's that simple. So don't be measuring yourself up to another man or woman or what have you. The Word of God is what you've got to measure yourself up to. So don't use that excuse, well, I would get saved, but so-and-so was doing this, and if they're saved, then I don't want no part of it. Well, you going to let that person send you to hell because you believe that way? Don't be that way. Realize that God has got a place for you. And God wants you, you know, God gave his best by giving up his one and only son for our salvation. And we don't need to be asking for anything else because he's given us his best. If we'll take it upon us to ask him in our life and accept Christ as our salvation and our better hope, amen, our better hope, then we have something that we can hang on to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Candace, if you don't care to come on up and play something. You know, and thank God he has given us a better hope. How many are thankful we've got that hope this morning? In Christ Jesus. We're not in the Old Testament where you've got to be careful with every little thing you do, or you might wind up somebody stoning you or what have you. I mean, I may mention last Sunday morning, I think it was talking about that. A guy just went out one Sunday and decided he wanted to go get some limbs and twigs and stuff to start a fire. And he got a fire started all right. He wound up getting stoned to death because that was the Sabbath. And you compare that to what maybe some of us do, and you think, Lord, we're in trouble. But we're not in trouble because we've got grace. We've got mercy. Amen. And his mercies are new every morning. Amen. He's patient with us. When we're not even patient with each other sometimes, he's patient with us. That he's a forgiving God. And if we're willing to ask him for forgiveness, he'll give it to us. Amen. You know, and not only with a better hope, you know, he promised us that not only we'll have a better life, but also we can have it more abundantly. You know, with that better life, the better hope, we can have life more abundantly. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to become a millionaire or what have you. No. The peace that he puts within your heart, being able to lay your head down of a night when you go to bed on your pillow, knowing that you've got somebody that you've got rest assurance in, that something happens to you that you're going to a better place. Or if you got problems, don't know where the next meal coming from, or got bills you need to pay, that you have that hope and the hope of a better life and a more abundant life, that you're serving somebody that will take care of you. And I can say this bragging on God. He has done way abundantly for me and my family. Some of you don't know maybe that much about me or Sister Patty. But when we was coming up, both of us, we didn't have what we've got now. We was in a situation where a lot of people nowadays in time will get in that rut and think, well, I'm just going to stay. Mom and Dad didn't have nothing, and I'm not going to be able to have nothing. But it wasn't because that we was trying to be arrogant about things or do anything, but it's because we had Christ living within us. Her dad was disabled, not able to work. So you know what kind of situation that is in a house of, what was it, six, I think. Four kids and mom and dad. My dad, from the time I was born, the day I was born, he was in the hospital with a body cast on where the rocket fell on him in the mines. So he wasn't able to hold a regular job after that for the rest of his life. And at that, I remember just as well as looking out at the crowd this morning. That was 1955. I remember probably in 1959 or 1960. And I don't know how I realized this, but it took him that long to get his disability on Social Security. I don't know how we made it. Because there was me, Mom, Dad, and at that time probably four of my sisters still home, or three or four of my sisters still home. But he supplied our needs then. But I remember walking out to that mailbox that one day and pulling that yellowish color envelope out of the mailbox. And I don't know how I knew what that was, but it was his first Social Security check. So I wasn't raised with a silver spoon in my mouth, or neither Sister Patty. But God, by serving Him, trying to do right, has blessed us abundantly. And we was talking a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago, or whatever, and one of the things I can remember, and she brought back to my mind, it seemed like since that time, and it happens so quickly sometimes, and over a period of time, you don't think about these things because it's just fallen into place. Neither one of us was making any kind of money at that time, with the boys still at home and stuff, going out to Lone Star. And we had got up a special offering thing to pay off the church. We didn't have the money to actually say, well, we'll do it, but we went ahead and pledged whatever it was, a sumptuous amount for what we had at that time. But you know, after that, God has completely, daily blessed us. Amen. Our jobs, we didn't change jobs, but the raises come, the positions of different things come for her. So God's word is true. Whatever He's promised, He'll fulfill it. You know, and He's the one that can take care of everything. We tend to think, and I'm not trying to get on a tithing message this morning or whatever, but we tend to think that we know how to take care of our own money. but we don't. And I was just reading about this other day in a book I was reading or something. We want to trust him in everything but our finances, and we will not. A lot of people will not turn that over to him. Who's the better stewardship or the steward? You or him? I mean, I think he is. Because he, you know, I mean, if he can take, when he fed the 5,000 and the 7,000 with the little parts that he had with that, you know, caused it to multiply. Only thing you're doing when you're not wanting to give a little bit here or a little bit there or whatever you're supposed to be giving, you're missing out on some blessings. Because if you don't give anything, he's not going to be able to multiply it. Nothing plus nothing equals nothing. Amen? It's that simple. I'm not smart, but I can figure that out. So, I mean, you know, with that young man gave that a little bit of fish and bread and stuff. Look what he did. So, I mean, it's not how much you give. It's what you give that's maybe a little or maybe a lot. But, you know, and in one of the scriptures it says, you know, bring in is what you can afford to bring in. But, I mean, you know, we got to have a starting point. If you want blessings and an abundant life from Christ, then you're going to have to be able to give to him. It's that simple. And we're blessed to be able to bless others. That's the thing. We're blessed to be able to bless others. Not to hoard it ourselves and what have you, but to be a blessing to other people. And I mean, it's just a cycle. If you will give, he will give back. If you will give, he'll give back. It's just, I mean, and it's, you know, you can't lose. So I'm thankful that, you know, that a lot of people might have thought, well, they won't never amount to be anything, but God has blessed us abundantly. Not only financially, but spiritually, and two great boys. And a whole lot has happened over the last several years. Amen. And I'm just thankful this morning, and I hope that you realize that you've got a history. You've got a future. You've got a presence. But just be thankful for what God has done for you. And he's not through with you. Amen. He's not through with you. He tells us that whatever he started, he is going to finish. And I'm thankful for that. We don't know what's around the corner or over the hill or what have you, but we've got the promise that whatever he started, he's going to finish. So I'm thankful of that this morning, you know, that not knowing maybe what the future may lie ahead of us, but we know that he's got our back. It's that simple. Let's stand this morning. Praise the Lord. We want to give the opportunity to anybody who needs to pray this morning. I feel like that most of us, I'm preaching to the choir this morning again, but we've got live stream. If anyone on live stream is not giving their heart to God, this is a perfect time. Don't put it off. And we pray that you will do that. Amen. You can get in touch with some of us if you need somebody to pray with you. Amen. We'd be more than glad to pray with you, or some of these ministers or people here at the church. So we're thankful for what God is doing. Amen, this morning. Praise the Lord. You know, and we've got some prayer requests we need to pray over. We need to pray over Brother Key's family, and over Tristan and Bobby Joe. And then we need my oldest sister that's still living, 83 years old, has got COVID. But thank God so far, they put her in the hospital Thursday morning because she's the one that's got the bad heart and got a leaky valve and what have you. And they thought that's what her problem was when they took her, but come to find out she did test positive. But so far, she's doing okay. No fever or what have you. And even with the leaky valve and what have you, she's not had the problem of trying to breathe. So remember her, that things will continue good for her. And Patty had an uncle passed away. I guess it was, Friday? And of course, he was 86 years old, but still, we don't like to hear this. But he passed away Friday with COVID, so. Sister Donna? Yeah, we still want to remember Sister Betty, you know. And I think what I heard last night on the news, that maybe, especially those that's getting our shots and stuff, and being Patty scheduled for the, I think, first part of March just to get our first shot or vaccine, is they're going to start opening up some of these rest homes and long-term places and assisted living and stuff here in a little while after everybody starts getting their vaccines, that they won't be able to go in more than what we've been able to, or can't go in. So we're thankful for that. We know that's been lonely on a lot of them, and it's been hard on the families too. Stuff that you can't go to see somebody, have to look at them through a window or something other than outside. So, but we are thankful that that's maybe coming to something better here in the near future. Amen. Anybody out that here that needs got a prayer request before we start praying? Anybody? Anybody else? It's good to see Sister Christian back here with us this morning, and Sister Tabby, and I told them that was my birthday present for them coming this morning. We miss y'all when we don't see you, and we're missing them boys. So, amen. Anybody else? Yeah, Sister Pentagraph. Got some problems, family different ones and stuff. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Okay. Sister Karen Daniels. Praise the Lord. Brother Brian, you want to come and pray over all these requests? Go ahead and dismiss it.
Our great and loving Father, we do thank you that you are our true healer and physician. Father God, our hearts are heavy for those who have lost family members, Lord, and Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit right now that you would truly wrap your arms around them and give them love and compassion and peace within their hearts, that each individual would be truly missed, Lord, that you are a great comforter to our hearts when they are sad. Father God, we thank you as physician that you are working on each person's behalf that we've mentioned today, Lord, that there is great healing as they call out to you, Father God. And as we intercede as brothers and sisters in Christ on their behalf, Lord, we ask that you would provide for them what they need, Lord. And those things, especially COVID, that affects their bodies, Lord, we call it null and void in the name of Jesus. For you are working at a distance. You're working in them and you're giving them strength right now as we pray over them. Father God, we thank you how truly compassionate you are. We thank you for coming and meeting with us in this house today, Lord. We give you glory and honor and praise as we leave here, that we truly can show that compassion to others as well. And all these things we pray in your precious name, your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord, church, we'll see you Wednesday night.